We are back with another episode. It's me, Justin, and I'm feeling good. I voted. I hope you guys voted out there. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the show. This week, it smells problematic times two. Double trouble. Some of y'all might call it double trouble. I'll introduce our guest in a second, but thank you guys for being here. If you are new to the show, this show is all about bringing together different perspectives, and we're definitely getting that on this episode. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure to subscribe. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the following button, and also feel free to follow me on social media. Both my personal page and the podcast page is listed in the description, so y'all don't ever feel afraid to reach out and talk to me if you feel compelled. As I said, problematic times two. This week I am joined by our faves, Enrique and Dupree. What's up, guys?
How you doing, bro?
I'm good.
Thank you for sharing the platform with us again. We really appreciate it. Like you said, gotta give the people what they want, right?
Yes, we have to give the people what they want. All right, so let's get into Off My Chest.
Justin's got a gift. It's off his chest. You know he's got a gift. It's off his chest. Justin's got to get some fucking shit off his chest.
Do you guys know what a Birkin bag is?
Yes.
Like the expensive ass luxury bag, right?
Hermes Birkin bags are some of the most expensive bags in the world, ranging anywhere from $9,000 to $500,000. The bags embody absolute luxury.
A Birkin bag?
You've heard of it?
Of course. That's a very nice purse.
If you guys haven't been following social media, the last couple of days has been really, you know, more prominent in the news. So a Birkin bag, as they said, is a luxury brand. It's a luxury bag that I think cost about $10,000 or so. It might cost more than that, but these are hard to get. And it's kind of like a class item. Like, if you have a Birkin bag, you've reached a level of fame, a level of wealth to where you can afford to get something like this. Y'all might see your favorite celebrities. I know Cardi B does it. She, you know, has a whole closet full of Birkin bags. And all of this was kind of making me upset in a way, because I feel that we should move beyond promoting all of these established white luxury brands. I think it's gotten to a point where it's too much. Imagine if we invested all of this energy into a black brand. We're too busy promoting other brands, and then when it comes to our own, we don't value ourselves the way we should. I don't know if y'all feel some type of way about it.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, I don't, that's not a problematic statement, right? Like, invest in your own hood, you know?
But I think that it's gone too far, because we have rappers like Gucci Mane, who's naming himself Gucci, you know? We have a rapper named Designer. Like, why is everything always about materialism? Because one thing y'all know about me is that I'm not into chains or jewelry or watches or anything like that. Reason being, it makes no sense in my brain to spend $10,000, $20,000 on a gold chain that just twinkles in the light. To me, I don't see any value in that. Some people spend like $350,000 on jewelry. And to me, that doesn't make sense, because in Texas, for $350,000, you can buy, you know, a house, a pretty decent house for $350,000. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, but you got to understand, you probably was raised in a proper household where you were taught about the importance of money. Where a lot of these rappers, they come from the hood, and the only thing they know is what they see on TV, mm-hmm. which is usually the rap music videos with everyone flashing their diamonds and cash. And those previous rappers probably looked at like the Italian mobs and stuff like that, you know, with the nice watches and the chains. You know, you won't look like you came up in life, mm-hmm. you know. You're no longer eating noodles and noodles, you're eating sushi now, you're eating steak now, you know. So I think a lot of it is just, we've been, like, this is just what white America has taught us over time. We feel like we have to adapt to their culture and, you know, use the luxuries that they perceive as, you know, luxurious. So, but I do agree with you. I think that if we actually started putting money into our own businesses, honestly, that we could probably start like our own little start a Black Wall Street again. Have money circling around our own communities versus keep giving our dollar to the white man.
I'm saying, am I allowed to interject here? I think that the black race is one of the most classist races out there, right? Like, we have been conditioned to, and this goes back to, I don't want to go into a whole black history thing, but this goes back to the time of slavery, right? Like, oh, your skin's lighter, so you're better. So you're going to work less. You're going to be in the house. You ain't going to be in the field, right? So it's always, I need to feel better than somebody else that should be on the same team as me because we're both treated like shit.
My parents, they own a grocery store. And in the area that they own the store, there's a lot of their friends that live in that area. Instead of shopping at our grocery store, they'll go shop at the other grocery store instead of coming and putting money, you know, in our community. Because they think that by shopping at our store, they're making us rich. But they don't see the bigger picture of putting wealth in our community. They see a win for us as a loss for them. And I think that's the problem with Africans. And I think that's also the problem with black people in general. We don't want to see
each other win. Say that again.
I'm going to say that again. We don't want to see each other win. Yes. And if you are divided, how can you ever grow as a community? If you look at the Asian community, they support each other really strongly, whether it's their nail businesses, their boba places, they support their community. But if you ever see a black business, oh, I'm not going there. They're ghetto. They're trash. They never know what they're doing. Why do you think like that?
Or, oh, they won't cut me a deal.
That's true.
They won't knock a couple dollars off the price. Like, nah, what are you talking about? Your time is worth money.
I agree.
I'm not looking for deals from black businesses anymore, man. If you can't afford to go up there and spend a little $20, you know, to help that person out, then you just need to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because you ain't walking in a Gucci store and saying, hey, cut me a deal.
Their friends do that all the time. If they buy like $100 or more, they say, hey, can you throw in something for free? No, you can't do that at Gucci or Prada or whatever. The thing is, a lot of people, they put their value on material things. If you have a Fendi t-shirt, you want people to think that you're rich, but you can have $15 in your bank account and have people thinking that you have money when in reality you don't. So it's almost like a flex and at the same time a facade where I'm broke, but I want other people to know that I have money. Who are you trying to fool and who are you trying to impress?
The crazy thing about that is you're trying to oppress people who really don't give two fucks.
That's the funny thing. A lot of people don't realize that.
That's something I always tell youngins. I'm like, hey, you spending all this money going broke trying to look fly to impress a girl or to impress a guy who probably don't got no money either. Like, let people like you off the strength of who you are. There's no need to keep up with the Joneses. Like, if there's somebody out there that, and I'm just speaking hypothetically, right? Hypothetically speaking, bringing something over from the old show. If there's somebody out there that's trying to, you know, compete with me and we don't make the same amount of money or we in different tax brackets, your pocket's going to hurt way more than mine are trying to keep up with me.
It's true.
Like, absolutely.
You know, it is what it is, but I ain't wishing nothing bad on you, but.
Stop worrying about what other people think about you and start worrying about what you think about you. If you want to work on yourself, work on yourself, but you don't need to pretend on your way to where you want to be. Trump, we need to talk about the debate. Anything that stands out regarding the debate that y'all wanted to say on the show?
Yes. You know, I have a lot.
I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say this. We're fucked. We're fucked. We're fucked. We're fucked. Take it away, Dupree.
My thoughts are people like will make jokes about Joe Biden being old and hey, he's not all there in the head. Yeah, sure, whatever. Trump thinks he's running against Hillary Clinton still. He thinks he's running against Obama. He thinks Bernie Sanders won the Democratic primary. Like, why are you talking so much about these other people?
There was nobody that campaigned harder for crooked Hillary Clinton than Obama, right? He was all over the place. He said he will not be our president. But before that, he said he will not run. He didn't know me. Then I ran. Then he said, he will not get the nomination. Then I got the nomination. Then he said, he will not be our president. Then I won. I think the only one more unhappy than crooked Hillary that night was Barack Hussein Obama.
Because they have nothing to do with who you're running against. Like, that's one thing
exactly
that I live by, and I think most people should. Like, I ain't out here fighting old battles no more. Like, if it's been decided, it's been decided. You beat Hillary, right?
Mm.
Stop talking about her. What's the point? You ain't running against Hillary. I really think that, you know, maybe not on election night unless something crazy happens, but PA extended its the time where you can receive the mail-in ballots back. But he's going to lose, and I think he's going to lose pretty big. That's just my prediction.
I'm nervous. After 2016, I have PTSD. I don't trust the polls. I don't look at polls. The only thing that counts to me is votes and enthusiasm. My prediction is that I think Biden will win. You can never be too sure these days. But my takeaway for the debate is that who is undecided at this point? What are you undecided about? I feel like the people that they're showing on TV saying, I'm undecided. I don't know who I'm voting for. They just want to get on TV and get some camera time because I feel like most of these people have already voted. They're just lying to CNN. They're lying to Fox so they can get on TV and pretend to be an undecided voter. I truly think that there's been 4 years of Trump and everybody has had 4 years to make up their mind. What are you undecided about?
You know, we lost around, it was just under 4,000 people during the 9/11 attacks, and we're at 230,000 people for COVID because of his mismanagement.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember this every year. You know what I mean? Like, instead of back the blue or blue lives matter, let's talk about COVID lives matter. Let's talk about first responders in the medical field lives matter, because this is his legacy.
Yeah.
This is his legacy. And here's a stat. So if there's any Trump supporters listening to Polar Opposites or listening to After Hours, here's a stat for you. Trump is going to be the first president since 1930 to have lost jobs instead of created jobs.
Mm.
The first. We've gone through some shitty presidents, guys. We've gone through Jimmy Carter in the recession in the 70s. Like, and he's going to be the first, but they talk about growth and prosperity, and he's a businessman. Listen. This is what Trump says to you. We have the best jobs, the best jobs, the smartest jobs.
Oh my God.
It's the best job you ever seen.
And what job numbers we had today. Did you hear? Did you hear? Well, we'll go into that. They all say, speak about the economy. Speak about the economy. Well, we have the greatest economy in the history of our country.
And my mouth looks like a tiny butthole every time I talk. I hate him.
Hey, he's right. He's right. He's a businessman with tons of failed businesses. If he's a failure at business, he sure as hell failed as president. That's all I'll say.
Here's the thing about his supporters. I can't wait, or not his supporters, but the people in power that enable him. I can't wait to see how fast y'all turn y'all fucking backs on him and say that you never supported him anyway once he loses his fucking election, because we will remember. We're talking to you, Miss Lindsey Graham out in South Carolina. Yeah. You might lose that race, baby, Miss Lindsey. So I think what we're going to see on election night is we're going to see Biden with really big leads in places because they're going to start counting these votes that were mailed in. And then over the course of the week, we'll see it tighten a little bit in places because a lot of Trump supporters might go out in person because, you know, mail-in ballots are frauds and this virus is a hoax. I'm Superman. I'm inhuman now.
He's dragging some of my listeners. Some of my listeners might be mad. They're unsubscribing as we speak. They're like, this is what I won't listen to. Like, you know how they are. So you got it. I'm not saying anything.
Well, you know what? I hope y'all enjoy the dragging.
Some people did. One thing that I forgot to mention is that Dupree is on the radical left, in case y'all can't tell.
What?
He's on the radical left.
That's not true.
He's the most, one of the most liberal people that I know, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but he's radical left. Nobody considers me radical left. I would consider myself left leaning, but I'm not far, far left, I guess. But
this guy is trying to paint me as Bernie Sanders here. Let me tell you, this podcast isn't about me, but I have to defend myself now. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to say I'm radical left, but I'm definitely left, right? Because I believe in progression, right? I believe that things need to get better in every aspect of your life. This isn't a perfect democracy right now. There's people whose their right to vote is being infringed upon. We see the racial unrest. We see that people can't even have a livable fucking wage in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm, and healthcare should be a goddamn right and not a privilege. And just because you were sick once upon a time doesn't mean that you should be able to, that company should be able to say, oh, now we can't insure you because it'll cost us too much money. That, to me, that's not okay. So if I'm radical left because of those things, yeah.
I was joking, but at the same time, there's a lot of people out there on the other side that consider basic human rights to be radical left ideology. So they paint that stuff as socialism, they paint it at government handouts, etc. And it makes people scared to value what is right and what is deserved as a citizen. So that's one thing that I'll say about that. The last thing I'll say about Trump is that he's funny. That was my takeaway from the debate, and that's my takeaway about Trump in general. Yes, he's racist. Yes, he's homophobic. Yes, he's xenophobic. Mm-hmm. But he is also funny. And I'm not going to lie, like, during the debates when he's talking about, every time you see Joe Biden, he has the biggest mask I've ever seen. I crack up. I think it's funny.
I wear masks when needed. When needed, I wear masks.
Okay, let me ask.
I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. He could be speaking 200 feet away from it. He shows up with the biggest mask I've ever seen.
No, the funniest one was when he said that we all can't afford to hide in a basement like Joe can. I was dying.
See, we're learning to live with it. We have no choice. We can't lock ourselves up in a basement like Joe does. He has the he has the ability to lock himself up. I don't know. He's obviously made a lot of money someplace, but he has this thing about living in a basement. People can't do that. By the way, I, as the president, couldn't do that. I'd love to put myself in the basement or in a beautiful room in the White House and go away for a year and a half until it disappears. I can't do that.
I was like, that guy is a fucking stand-up comedian.
He's hilarious.
Oh, like,
it will only be funny to me when he loses. If we have to deal with another 4 years of this, it's not funny anymore because people will keep dying.
There's people that are dying.
People will keep losing jobs. And to me, that's not funny. But I get where you guys are coming from. Like, I wish that I could see it in that light. Like, oh, man, this guy's a little funny. But I don't find stupidity funny. Like, he's a dullard.
So, yeah, that's why I'm actually getting my black ass up to go vote his ass out. Because I'm tired of him making us look like fucking idiots to the rest of the world.
And, you know, one thing I have to say is that a lot of people, once Trump is out of office, and I'm saying once he's out of office, because I think at this point, I think that he's not going to be the president much longer. Once he's out of office, CNN won't know what to do with themselves. MSNBC won't know what to do with themselves. Fox won't know what to do with themselves. Uh-oh. People in general won't know what to do with themselves because, you know, a lot of people have been profiting off of Trump. This weekend, Adele was on SNL this week, and there was a funny skit that the SNL cast did in regard to Trump. They're like, now that Trump is no longer president, like, what am I going to be ranting about?
If Donald Trump isn't president,
then what are we going to talk about?
Like, what will our conversations even be?
Because the only thing I've talked about for 4 years is Donald Trump.
Every single day I tell someone, can you believe what Trump just said?
My entire personality is hating Donald Trump. If he's gone, what am I supposed to do? Focus on my kids again? No thanks.
I argue with my dad every day about Trump. Before this, we hadn't spoken in years.
I used to watch civil rights videos and wonder what it would be like to live in those times. Now, thanks to Trump, I get it.
Every single day has been bombardment with Trump, and now that's not going to be the case anymore, hopefully.
I don't think he's going away. He's not just going to go the fuck away. He's going to be in the camera somewhere.
No, he's going to jail.
Yeah.
That's where he's going. Segue real quick, side note. I'm sorry, I don't know how to do it, but sometimes you need people in life to remind you who the fuck you are. And Enrique had to do that for me plenty of times. Over the past, like, since quarantine started, like, I had people messaging me talking some crazy Trump shit, and then, like, you get to the bottom of it, and it's like, oh, so you believe in QAnon. Okay, like, the lights are on in no one's home. Like, you far off the ranch.
Right.
Like, I don't need to have a conversation with you. That's wasting my time. I will not dumb myself down to have that conversation with you. Like, God bless you. I hope you find the light one day.
There's radical left, and there's also radical right. And we need to talk more about the radical right, because all the conspiracy theories and stuff they believe in, wild, to say the least. Wild. Okay, so the last thing I'll say, and then we'll move on to the next thing, is that we have revisionist history when it comes to this country. You know, we think that people are bad, give it a few years, and then we're celebrating them. We're inviting them to late night TV shows. Look at what happened with George W. Bush. He left as one of the most unpopular presidents that we had. And now we have revisionist history. And now he's invited to all the late night shows. He's passing candies to Michelle Obama during funerals and everybody's giggling and hee-hawing. Like, the same thing is going to happen to Trump. Give it a year, give it two or three, and you're going to see him making the rounds on all the late night shows, and people are going to be acting like everything he did during his presidency did not happen. Mark my words.
The thing with Bush is that he only looks good now by comparison, because Trump is so fucking bad.
Meanwhile, hey, remember when we thought George W. Bush was a bad president? Good times.
It's so weird how the world and the universe works. Like, we came out of 8 years, honestly, 6 years of Bush were completely horrible. He handled 9/11 iffy. You know, that's the best thing you can say about him. But I never once questioned if the man was evil, right? He wasn't the smartest guy, because he's from Texas, you know?
Oh, my. Don't even try me. Because you Joyzy boys, Hey, Paulie, get the paper. What you doing? Guido.
First of all, nigga, you don't talk like that. We not North Jersey.
You too.
We South Jersey. We Philly. We talk more like Philly. We talk more like Philly.
Enrique, I don't even know if you realize you have an accent. You have a Joyzy accent.
Hey, Guido, I do.
What? Wow.
No, we don't.
We you talk do. Like our team's in first place in the division. That's what we talk like.
Oh my God. Yeah. And you're probably gonna end the season with a losing record. How about that? How about that?
And we'll still win the division.
Oh shit. Y'all did get smacked yesterday by the Washington football team.
We don't have a starting quarterback last time I checked.
You got beat by a team that don't got a name.
Oh, my God.
The football team.
Last time I checked, we have a quarterback with a snapped ankle, and y'all have all your starters. So you have no excuses.
No, we
you
don't.
You have no excuses. No, and you have a trash
quarterback. No, what the hell are you talking about?
He is trash, but we got the most injuries in the league. Our offensive line is all third string.
Yes.
Now you sound like Trump. He has an excuse for everything. An excuse for Corona, an excuse for jobs, and now you have an excuse for the Eagles.
It's all fun and games until you compare me to
the Super Jesus Bowl. Christ. Speaking of the NFL, this is actually a perfect segue. Speaking of the NFL, every year in September, the NFL announces who's going to be performing at the Super Bowl halftime show. With Corona, with COVID, we don't know what's going to be happening because things are a little bit different this year. There hasn't been a performer that has been announced yet. So I think that it is our obligation to pitch to the Super Bowl committee who we believe deserves to put on a Super Bowl halftime show. As we know, this year, J-Lo and Shakira put on a show. At first, when they announced J-Lo, I was mad because she sucks to me. She cannot sing. She's a fraud. she's good for smoke and mirrors. But I'm not going to lie. Shakira and J-Lo, they did the thing. They did the thing.
I mean, listen, you know how passionate I am about music. She cannot sing. She ain't the worst. I can tell you that. Like, that's my hill to die on that. Selena Gomez is the worst singer I ever heard in my life. She sounds like a goat.
Can't keep my hands to myself.
Nope, even you were better than her. This is what she sounds like.
Can't keep my hands to myself. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
She's horrible. My God. But anyway, you know who should do the Super Bowl halftime? Yeah. Since it's going to be all social distance in an empty arena, probably. The hologram of Whitney Houston.
Oh, no.
Yep.
You know what? I'm not even going front. I was thinking a hologram. I wasn't thinking Whitney Houston, but I could get behind that.
Thank you, sir.
I like Whitney Houston. No, I have no qualms with Whitney Houston. The issue is the Super Bowl halftime show is about fun. It's about dancing. It's about entertainment. And Whitney is not that type of performer. She has that song.
I want to dance with somebody? Are you serious? That's you just said
what?
It.
What?
Is she going to perform that on a loop for the entire 15 minutes?
How will I know?
I'm every woman.
Or get the hologram of Michael to do it.
Seriously, is that who y'all are suggesting for the halftime show? You don't think there are any current artists that could do the show?
Everybody's already done it. Bring back Bruno Mars because he killed it.
I don't think they shouldn't have gave it to him the first time. I think he was too early in his career to get a halftime show. He had like an album and a half, and they said Bruno is doing the halftime. I was like, huh?
I know who's going to do it.
Who?
Britney Spears.
No. Why do you say that?
No.
It just sounds right. They find washed up pop stars sometimes every other year, and it just sounds about right that Britney Spears would be that person.
Who was the year that shared the stage with Coldplay?
It was
Bruno and Beyonce.
Oh yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, so at least give me an artist that like has the established catalog to hold it down by themselves.
Exactly. That's the see. This is why we like Enrique.
They haven't been doing that.
This is why we like Enrique, a man who thinks. So somebody with an established catalog that can carry a whole show. I have a list for you. We have Rihanna. We have Drake. We have Pink. We have Taylor Thrift.
Pink. Pink. You mean the girl with the pink hair that be singing them songs? Pink.
Pink.
First of all, I don't like how you're coming at Pink.
Uh-oh.
And number two, Pink is a Jersey native.
She's from PA, bro. So,
she from Jersey.
Okay.
Pink, she has the hits. And the thing with the Super Bowl halftime show, it doesn't matter if I like them or not, but I will be honest about whether or not somebody deserves it. Justin Bieber is probably somebody that could do the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift, y'all know that I don't like her, but she has the hits, the longevity, and the relevancy to do a halftime show. Same with Rihanna and Drake. The thing with Rihanna is that I'm not interested in seeing her perform because I don't think she's a great performer, but she does certainly have the hits to do a halftime show. The baby who
damn, you just made me forget. So what about Miley Cyrus? Could you see her doing
no.
it?
No.
Why not? She's a performer.
No.
She can actually sing.
She don't have the catalog.
What? Bro, she end the night on Wrecking Ball?
You know what? Fuck it. I'll go hard to some Hannah Montana. Fuck it.
Party in the USA.
Go hard.
The Climb. Wrecking Ball.
No,
all her
no.
banger shit.
All right, so Justin, this is what I have to say. I feel like this Super Bowl, this nigga don't shut the fuck up. What I'm trying to say is I feel like this Super Bowl is going to be trash regardless.
Mm.
I just feel like it's going to be a trash Super Bowl. So put a trash artist up there.
Yeah, and cap it off because that's how the year treated us. A trash year? How about we cap it off with a trash halftime show performer? How about that? How about that?
What about Gwen Stefani?
No.
I think she could do it.
No.
You're crazy. You're crazy.
You have to be relevant.
I like that,
You have
though.
To be relevant.
No, you don't. The Red Hot Chili Peppers did it. You don't got to be relevant.
I mean, they are musically relevant. Gwen Stefani.
Maroon 5 ain't relevant. They only have 2 good songs.
No.
And 1 album.
They had a recent album with hits. That song with Cardi B, that was
a
recent
sucked.
Hit. Because girls
that
like
shit
you,
sucked.
La girl, la you.
Bro, I'm gonna be real with you. I can't wait for us to do a music podcast, but I'm gonna be real with you. The last good song Maroon 5 had is She Will Be Loved, and that was on their first album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Songs about Jane.
No, we agreed. Yo,
listen,
we agreed the other
moves
day
like Jagger
about
kind of
moves by
yeah,
moves like
moves
Jagger,
like Jagger
yeah.
kind of bops. But outside of that, you can miss me with that Sugar Yes Please shit. I'm not. Maroon 5 sucks.
Yeah, they are now kind of like the Nickelback of Gen Z.
Bruh, stop! No, I ain't here for Nickelback slander.
Nickelback of Gen Z.
I ain't here for Nickelback slander.
Wow,
look at this photograph.
Not even that. How You Remind Me is a banger.
Wait, whose song is this?
Oh.
Honey, when I hear you sleep, hearing your voice, it makes me weep. Coming from the lips of an angel, hearing your voice.
No, that's not Nickelback. That's Hinder.
Oh, that's right. I love that song, by the way. Wanna die, cause girl, you make me hard
Yo.
To be faithful.
Matter of fact, don't Yo. Have one person perform. Just have a whole MySpace era lineup. Have like Paramore and Green Day and My Chemical Romance
Jesus
all do
Christ.
It.
Oh my God. Green Day, I would love to see do the halftime show. That's somebody that I think would put on a show.
Green Day's the shit. Yeah.
They have the hits. All right. So in an interview, Willow Smith was talking about her experience growing up. And she told the magazine or whoever she was talking to, with the African-American community, I kind of felt like me and Jaden were a little shunned. And she was saying, it's like we're not going to take pride in them because they're too different, too weird. And she's kind of speaking to how other people perceive them just because they're a little eccentric, just because they are different, I guess, and just because they're, you know, the children of celebrity parents, they felt different. And some people, I guess, kind of said that they're not black or whatever. What do y'all think about what she had to say? And do you agree that people say those things about them?
I've heard it and seen, like, a lot of people talk trash about them on Twitter, saying, like, you know, Willow's a little too weird, Jaden's always changing his hair color and is weird for looking up to Tyler, the Creator, and blah, blah, blah. I think that they were just raised by two artists, you know, that just gave them that upbringing of, like, explore what you feel is the real you. And I feel like a lot of black kids in, like, in the hood, we don't really have that option because we have to, you know, go by a certain status quo. We got to appear hard. We have to appear with a certain image. Whereas Jaden and Willow didn't have to really go by those standards.
You said it. Basically, everything that I was going to say is what you just said. Dupree, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I totally believe it because I felt that growing up. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, when people, before basketball games, like, I used to ball. So, like, before basketball games, people are, you know, in there listening to, you know, whatever's popping at the time or whatever. And I'm sitting there listening to Paramore or to Fall Out Boy. And they're like, well, why do you listen to that stuff? And it's like, because I can, because I like it. Like, just because somebody told you you had to be one certain way doesn't mean that you have to. It's important for you to go out and find yourself, who you are, what you like, and live your truth that way. And that's what I've always lived by. It's a lesson I learned very early in life. And, like, I thank God that I did. Because I'm a lot happier and my life has turned out a lot better than if I would have just tried to fit in with people.
Absolutely. Like, I know for a fact when I'm on Snapchat and I go to, like, all these raves and these festivals, I know, like, my sister, she'd be like, you really are, like, my white brother. I'm like, if you just know how much of the African-American community is a part of the EDM scene, you will get it. And once I explained it to her, she's just like, wow. She's like, you know what? Honestly, they look like a lot of fun. I want to go and experience them. I was like, there's more black people there than you know.
And I'll always say this. I almost say this on every show. Black people aren't in chains anymore, but we've never been allowed to be truly free. And, you know, I feel like almost instantly when we're born, we're put into a box and we're not allowed to leave the box. If you fall outside of the box, you're weird, you're labeled as different, you're considered not black. And I don't think that's fair because every other race is allowed to be whatever they want to be. But there's something about black people where we have to ascribe to the same code. We all have to have the same existence. We all have to speak with AAVE. Like, that's not true. We're all different and we should all be allowed to be different. This is something I say on the show all the time. We need to get out of that mode of thinking. And I know that we all don't think like that, but we know that a lot of people do.
Bro, the number one thing I hate the most growing up is like, you talk so white because I talk proper? Like, really?
I have a story about that.
Come on now.
In my younger years, I made myself sound old. I'm still in my 20s, but in my younger years, I went on an interview one time. And this lady was like, oh man, like, you just speak so great. You know, you speak so intelligently. Or she said something along the lines of, you speak so well. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I speak English. So, like, what does that really mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they will throw code in your face all the time. Like, what the fuck does speaking white mean? Like, yeah, we could do caricatures of a voice, but because I purport myself with a level of intelligence in the situations that require that, like, I ain't going to go to work and talk at work the way I'm talking on this podcast right now. Because I'm not fucking up my bread.
Facts.
So do you think that there's a level of code switching that happens? Do you code switch? Because I don't. You don't. The same way I'm talking right now is the same way that I talk in real life. I don't change my voice to make other people feel comfortable. Oh, hi. Hello. I'm Justin. No.
I don't do that. I'm not saying I don't do that. I'm saying, like, I don't curse. I don't curse, you know, in a professional setting, or I enunciate my words a little different, but I'm not putting on, like, hey, thanks for calling today, this is Dante. It's none of that. I'm just saying I'm more laid back and lax.
Speaking of white supremacy, I want to touch on Coons a little bit. So We have to talk about it because we're kind of talking about how we all have to think the same or whatever. But there's a lot of vitriol when it comes to what people think of Ben Carson. There's a lot of vitriol when it comes to what people think of Clarence Thomas. I think both of them are married to white women. Both of them are Republican. Why is there so much hatred when it comes to their views? Isn't it okay that black people are are Republican? Why is there such a big issue when it comes to how they're perceived within the black community?
There's a lot to unpack about what you just said. There is no doubt that Clarence Thomas is a coon because he spent his professional life fighting against the rights of black people and people of color and women. And If you know any history about Clarence Thomas, this man was basically a Black Panther when he was in college. But Clarence Thomas is a coon. I feel like if you're fighting against the betterment of your people, you're a coon. You could be a Black Democrat, but if you're fighting against the betterment of your people and people in general, you're a coon. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? Like, Ben Carson, you're a famous brain surgeon. Like, you're a walking Black History Month fact. And you decide to sell your soul and be a part of something that is hurtful to black people. Like, you're in charge of HUD. Not just black people, but so many people depend on that agency, and you're running it into the fucking ground because of your boss. So that's coon behavior to me.
Yeah, I think I do agree. I think that you're only a coon if you're, like, putting in legislation to hurt your own community, because it doesn't make sense. Who are you trying to benefit? Who are you trying to help? Because it's almost like they'll hurt their own community to be seen as equal to their white counterparts. They think that white people perceive them a certain way if they're going against black people. That's why conservatives and Republicans love whenever there's a black person that's spouting everything that they want to say, but they could never dare say it because it's coming from a white person. When they hear a black person like Candace Owens or whoever talking about it, they're like, yeah, see? Not all black people have to think the same. I hate that I even said Candace Owens, because Candace Owens is fake, and anybody on Facebook or whatever that is reposting her stuff, please stop, because she's a grifter. She's somebody that did a complete 360 because she saw how profitable it was to be a black conservative that speaks against the black community. So anything that she says, I don't believe, and I think other people should save their time and just switch over to the next thing anytime that she's a conversation topic.
Candace Owens is the type of person that would have snitched on Harriet Tubman, and I don't respect that.
True.
And you know what? There's a lot of people out there in your everyday life that's the type that when shit get real, they probably would drop a dime on somebody or something. So you got to play it close, man. You got to know what you're doing out there, because Candace Owens definitely is the type that would snitch on Harriet Tubman, and I don't respect that.
Honestly, shit. We need to respect Harriet Tubman a lot more, because if I was Harriet Tubman, I would be staying on the plantation. I'm not leaving because I'm scared. I don't know how she was able to make multiple journeys, you know, to the north and back. I would be scared. I'm like, hell no.
She carried that thing on her. She carried that thing on her.
Yeah, Justin, you from Texas. You should know about that. Get right.
I know. Great equalizer. I know. Open carry. Open season over here.
Well, she had that Roscoe on her. She said, I dare you.
But isn't that scary? If when you actually think about what exactly she did, transferring multiple people at a time to come to the north, I'll be scared. I'll be trembling if I heard a crunch at night in the woods.
Master James.
Here's the thing that makes her one of the greatest people this country's ever produced. She went and got free and kept coming back to free other people. That's the type of people we need in this world. I always used to ask myself, and I've spoken to Enrique about it a lot on, you know, the podcast that we had, is in times of crisis, in times of trouble, which side would I be on, right? Would I be John Lewis willing to get my skull fucking cracked open? Or would I be a silent observer and say, hey, you know, like, maybe I could do something, you know, I'll raise my voice. I'll cheer you on while you out there getting fucked up. And I think I know enough about me as a man right now that, nah, man, I would do it. Like, I'd be John Lewis. I'd be MLK. Like, take me out, but I'm going to die for what I believe in. And in terms of Harriet Tubman, I don't know, you know, how I would have done that. I would like to think that I'd go back and help other people, but I'd be Nat Turner in the sense that you're going to kill me before I be your slave the rest of my life. And I firmly believe that. I believe I have that in me. I'd be like, hey, listen, you're going to do what you got to do, but You ain't putting no fucking whip on my back.
Integration is what is, you know, pressed on my mind right now. I think that Dupree had told me that you said that integration possibly might have been bad for black people as a whole. I want you to expound on your thought process when you said that. Like, do you believe that?
I said integration might have been bad for black people as a whole.
Uh-huh.
When did I say that?
I thought I wrote that down in my notes. Whether I think somebody else might have. I don't know if.
I don't think so, but we can keep flowing with this. I think that there's a lot of willing for segregation in this country. You know, the black people stay on their part of town. They go to the black bars. They do X, Y, Z. And the white people stay on their side of town, go to the white bars. I think just because it's not a law anymore doesn't mean that it still doesn't happen. I believe that, you know, we are as a people self-segregated in a lot of places.
Yes.
Well, there's a difference between having community and there's a difference between segregation. I think that oftentimes when we see people that are the same ethnic group clustered together, some people assume that it's self-segregation. I see it as camaraderie and community. I think there's nothing wrong with having a sense of community with the people that look like you. Because on the opposite side, there are people, y'all might remember this in high school, that would say, why do you always hang out with the black people? Or why do you always hang out with the white people? Do you not have any black friends or whatever? So it's an issue when there's a black person amongst a group of white people or whatever, that's the case. But whenever you're hanging out with your own people, it's also a problem. So it's like, what do you want at the end of the day?
This is coming from the guy that said we can't invite white people to the cookout.
Yeah.
Yes.
You did say that.
Yes. And that's my example of community. Community is when you have pride and when you're celebrating your community. Why are you inviting people that are not part of your community to enjoy it with you? That makes no sense.
Why can't white people be a part of our community?
Because they're not black. We don't call it the black and white community. We call it the black community.
Yeah, but I think community can be more than just a color thing.
Yeah, but like, don't call it a cookout then.
Oh, you be stretching hard as fuck.
Don't call it a cookout then. Stretch. Call it the potato salad Super Bowl. Call it the picnic. But do not call it the cookout.
Captain Stretch is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Wow.
Because Enrique likes to call me Captain Reach. Dupree is problematic. Enrique, I say that he's problematic, but he's not as problematic as Dupree. So we're still trying to come up with a nickname for Enrique. But I don't know. I don't know. Because I don't think that's a reach.
That's a reach, man. When I think of community, I think of the people.
The people that fucking love you and fuck with
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. And I have a lot of Hispanic, a lot of white, a lot of Asian friends that fuck with me just because of me. That's my community. And I have a lot of black motherfuckers that could give two shits about me. You get what I'm saying? So, and also about the whole, like, lunch table thing. I get where you're going for at that. But, like, I don't think me and Dupree ever had that problem in our school. Like, our fucking lunch table was diverse as it could be.
Well, also, remember, I went to a racist high school. So, let's put that into perspective.
Yeah, that's true. that's true.
I mean, yeah, that definitely changes things.
I will say, when I did start going to school in Delaware, I did notice that there was a Spanish table because a lot of those were Latin kings. And there was a Jamaican table as well. I didn't know there was that many Jamaicans in Delaware. But then I found out that Bob Marley actually lived in Wilmington, Delaware at one point. So pretty nice Jamaican area around there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my first time ever seeing like the school lunch tables broke up like that. But it was like no tension or anything.
Right. Either. I mean, I think that we just have to, you know, separate these things as individual separate things. There's some times in life where we're with our community, and that's okay. And I don't think that's self-segregation. It's okay to have camaraderie within your community. It's okay to have a cookout and invite only black people because that's our time to enjoy each other's company, enjoy what we love.
We're not saying that, though. We're not saying that you can't just invite black people to your cookout. If you want, Justin, if you just want black people at your cookout,
no.
I'll make sure not to bring my white girlfriend.
No,
I'll make sure not
stop.
To bring my white girlfriend. It's okay. I'll make sure.
Justin,
it's okay.
Justin said to us, he was like, yo, y'all could come to the cookout, but don't bring your girl.
Hey, Paulie, listen.
Yo.
My thing is not about my personal cookout. My thing is not about my personal cookout. It's about this idea within the black community about the cookout.
Yo.
We see online.
If I come to your cookout, If I come to your cookout, I'm not. I'm wearing all black. All right.
No,
I'm wearing a black Air Force Ones.
Like, nah, I'm. If I come to Justin cookout, I'm wearing FUBU, bro. It's a wrap.
Facts. FUBU.
Black businesses
got
only.
Rock and wear on. Oh God.
No Nike. No.
My S. Dot Carters.
My thing is about this general idea of what a cookout is. Whenever you see people online talking about, oh, he invited to the cookout, they're talking about who deserves a plate because they've, you know, done a lot to benefit the black community. But the idea of a cookout is a black thing, you know? So don't invite black people into it. Let's have a space for ourselves. And then when we're not celebrating just ourselves, feel free to invite other people. That's all I'm saying. So don't you dare ever try to put words in my mouth again.
Let me ask you a question. So you mean to tell me that Tina Marie ain't invited to the cookout?
I don't know who that is. Is that a porn star?
You can just edit this part out. No.
He said, is that a porn star?
You can just edit this part out the podcast then. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, under no circumstances is a white person allowed at the cookout, is what you're saying, basically.
Okay, what Dupree, guys that are listening, what Dupree is trying to do is he's trying to paint me out to be this, like, negative, like, black Nazi.
No,
that's
not
what I am.
Black Nazi.
What I'm trying to say.
You sound a lot like Kanye West right now.
No, I don't, because we'll get on him in a second. That'll be the last thing that we say before we wrap things up. But I'm saying that the idea of a cookout is a black thing. It's not a, no whites, no Indians, no. That's not what I'm saying. I know the people listening know what I'm trying to say. Maybe I don't have the...
No, they don't.
Maybe
no, they don't.
Maybe,
no, they don't.
Maybe I don't have the brain power right now to articulate clearly what I'm trying to say. All I'm saying is that black people deserve to have our own spaces, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that we're trying to segregate ourselves from everybody else. Let's just love ourselves, love up on each other. Because I'm not the one that said that during Black History Month that we should also celebrate the white people. What is that? Mm-hmm. What is this? No, we're not doing that.
And again, when I came on the previous episode, I told you that was taken out of context. But since you wanted to talk about
it. Yeah, put it
that,
in context then.
I believe the one that you were talking about was what you want to talk about is when I brought up that maybe we should do away with Black History Month. And I'm not the only person that thought about that. I actually had a conversation with a coworker, black woman.
Okay.
Very educated. And so Black History Month comes around. There's this one manager everyone's cool with. He's actually Italian and from Jersey.
That speaks with that accent.
And every day for Black History, he passes around like these little cards, and it has a quote from, you know, someone who's, you know, famous that is black. And I'm pretty sure I spoke about my racist manager on your podcast at least once or twice by now. So he passes them out to everyone on at their cubicle and their desk, and my manager, she was like, "What's this for?" He was like, "Oh, it's to celebrate Black History Month. We're going to pass around quotes from, you know, famous black people, like, you know, to help jumpstart the day." And she's like, "Oh, well, why didn't we do this for the other months with white people?"
Oh my God.
All right. So March comes and he's still passing them around. And then I heard someone else say, "I thought Black History Month ended a couple of days ago. Why are you still passing around these notes?" He was like, "Well, you know, this isn't for Black History Month, but, you know, I just have some leftover quotes that are from black people that I deem really good quotes." Like, I feel like white people feel like, "Hey, all right, you guys got BET. You guys have your cookouts. You guys run the NBA. You guys run the NFL. And you get 28 days out of the year to celebrate you 100%.
Who run the world? Blacks.
And after the 28-29 day period ends, they feel like, "Oh, it's just y'all go back in the closet. It's all about white people now." It was just a thought of mine.
That's, I think what you said, I absolutely do not agree with anything that you just said right now. It's almost like you're speaking with a colonized mind, where it's like, we've given God you this, damn. And when is enough
hold,
enough?
Hold, time out. I'm speaking with the colonized mind, Mr. Blacks Only at the Cookout?
No, I'm not saying that you are.
You know what, hold on.
I wanted
Enrique to speak on what he was speaking on, but I have a question for you, Justin.
Okay.
I haven't let this cookout thing go.
Mm-hmm.
You right?
So you would rather give Candace Owens a seat at the table and a plate at the cookout over Bernie Sanders?
No, that's right,
hold on. I'm gonna step in for Justin.
Please
you're
step
stretching
in.
Now.
Please step in.
You're stretching.
He is stretching.
You're stretching.
Thank you.
You're stretching.
See, this is why we love you're Enrique because he has sense.
You're hella stretching.
He has right sense.
Candace Owens is as white as all white right now.
No, she black.
No.
In Justin's eyes, she's white.
The cookout is only... Okay, people that are trying to hurt us, we don't want. Are you going to invite a shooter to the cookout just because they're black? No. Like.
So you're saying my girlfriend's trying to hurt us?
Listen. If your girlfriend is not black... Okay, listen. The thing is with the cookout, I'm not trying to.
Yeah, no.
I'm not trying to.
What you was gonna say?
Justin,
the thing
Justin,
with the cookout
Justin.
Is that it's not exclusionary. It's not like we're ostracizing everybody else. It's a space for us to celebrate ourselves.
Justin,
like
Justin,
that's all it is.
Justin, I'm fucking with you.
Okay,
I get it. I'm just fucking. With
you. Are you serious? So you've just been gaslighting me this whole time?
Wait, no.
I don't know about Dupree. I'm fucking with you though.
What if a white girl could do twisties and braids? Could she come?
No.
Right, I'm done messing around. I'm done messing around. I'm sorry.
Let's get back to the topic. So you don't agree with anything I just said. That's cool. I just had this conversation with someone else. And I was just like, huh. I kind of feel that way. Because, I mean, outside of the workplace at school, have I probably heard some people say some shit like that? Obviously, I have. This goes back to what I was saying before about, you know, with the government or anything. I just feel like as black people, we just need to make like a bigger stand. Why do we just have, you know, Oprah's network and just BET? Why don't we own more television channels, you know? Why don't we push more black cartoons? Why don't we push more, you know, XYZ? I feel like in America, when you're born black, you are automatically born whitewashed.
Yeah, that's true. And it's because of white supremacy. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. That's why. Because with black people, with Africans, whoever, we are always in a constant state of unlearning. There's so many things that our parents taught us, our community taught us, that we are taught is acceptable. But when we learn, when we go to school, when we're around other people and we have other experiences, we're like, you know what? What this person was saying, that's not right after all. And I know that that's not okay. And I'm learning. And that's what life is at the end of the day. We're learning and then we're constantly unlearning as well. Basically, this like leads into what our last thing is, and this is the final thing that we're discussing. So Kanye West was interviewed by Joe Rogan on his podcast, and somewhere along the lines, the issue of black, not even the issue, the topic of Black History Month came up, and Kanye went on this rant. Basically, his whole 3-hour, you know, interview with Joe Rogan was an entire rant, and Joe Rogan was just letting him talk. But anyway, so he says that this idea of Black History Month shouldn't even be a thing. He believes that we shouldn't have a special month to celebrate ourselves. Do you agree with what he was saying? What do you think?
We think we came from slaves. We don't know our bloodline, and we're given Black History Month, and we take that like it's some gift to us. No, it's a programming to us. Racism doesn't end until we get to a point where we stop having to put the word black in front of it, because it's like we're putting the rim a little bit lower for ourselves. Like, it's when I say I'm the second wealthiest black man in America, like, why do I have to say that? Because, you know, obviously, if we just go on wealth, period, of what we call wealth, like financial wealth, that scorecard, you know, I'd be like, I'm the 78th wealthiest man in America. But we shouldn't have to have a special box, a special month, because also what they show in Black History Month is us getting hosed down, reminding us that we were slaves.
I have a problem with like the title, like basically what he was saying, like, I'm the second richest black man in the, you know, just put me like make I'm a man. You know what I'm saying? Put me with the other men. I can understand that. Because like you also starting to hear a lot from women as well. Like, oh, I'm not, when it comes to like things that women and men both can be categorized in at the same, you know? Like best female artist. Like, what about best artist? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. It's cool to have separate categories, I guess, but like at the end of the day, if, you know, Sade, Michael Jackson, Prince, Mariah Carey, they're the best singers, right? Why don't we just put them in one? Why do we have to separate the category? But I don't personally believe we should deal with Black History Month. I think it's cool. I think it's important to remind ourselves about our upbringing here, because the white media has done too much black whitewashing us. So I disagree with him on that.
With the whole category thing, it's about, you know, the history of our country and how everything has to be categorized. We have men and women, light skin and dark skin, black, white, yeah. Asian. Everything has a label on it, and everybody wants to know, like, the origin of everything. And it's kind of like this hierarchy of white people are the majority in this country, and we're looking at everything through a white lens. Anybody who is not white, we want to know, what are you? So we define you as black, we define you as Indian or whatever. And that's, you know, just a part of the way the American system works.
Yeah.
I get the overall point I think the guy was trying to make, but I believe that we need Black History Month in schools, because that's the only time some people are learning black history, man. Like, not everybody has an inquisitive nature and wants to learn more about certain things. Like, a lot of black history I learned, I'd say the vast majority of it I learned on my own. I didn't learn it in school. Like, I learned about Black Wall Street before it was popular to learn about Black Wall Street. I learned about that shit like 4 years ago because I was just curious. Like, why is nobody ever talking about this massacre? Why aren't they talking about this shit in school?
I feel in school, they only talk to you about Martin Luther King every fucking year.
And nonviolence. They really try and hammer that over our heads. And then at the end of the day, we have to remember that this nonviolent activist was gunned down. So what exactly are you trying to teach us?
Yeah.
So don't you think that learning something is better than learning nothing? I guess is what I'm trying to get at here.
That's cool.
Like, yes, it's flawed. I think Black History Month is essential and it is needed.
And I agree. I couldn't have said it better. I don't agree with Kanye. I don't know what's happened with him. It's sad to see the de-evolution of Kanye West as he continues, you know, progressing in his life. I think that people are entitled to have their own opinions. Kanye is certainly entitled to have his own opinion. I might not agree with him most of the time, but it is what it is.
I have some breaking news.
What's breaking news?
I mean, it was a foregone conclusion, but Amy Coney Barrett has been officially confirmed to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
So we're riding with Biden and pack that motherfucking court.
Y'all hear the radical left?
I'll be that. I'll be that.
It sucks to hear that. It's not like we didn't know that was going to happen. Democrats, they have options at their disposal, and I hope that they use it. That's all I'm going to say. This sucks, but it is what it is. It is what it is. This is the importance of voting. Another full circle moment. We said it at the beginning. Vote. That's the only power that we have to control what we want to see in the world. So if you want to be part of the change, do something about it. And we have some options. November 3rd is the election, and I hope that you guys will vote. Dupree and Enrique, thank you for joining me on this episode of the show. We talked about so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We enjoy it. We look forward to coming back.
And we learned to not bring our girlfriends to your cookout.
They can come. They can come as long as they understand that the cookout is for black people. You can have a plus one. That's okay.
Are they allowed to get a plate, though?
Yeah, as long as they're not cooking the food, I'm fine.
Wow.
Shit. As long as they're not preparing anything pre-prepared, I'm good. Take
you
a plate.
Lost every white listener
they can bring
have.
The drinks. They could bring the drinks, is what you're saying.
Yes. The alcoholic ones. Yes.
They can bring the alcohol. So you're saying they can't touch the Kool-Aid?
No.
Hell no.
They can't make the tea?
One.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no.
No.
We're supposed to enjoy what we're eating.
Oh my god.
We need to end this before I get canceled. Thank you guys for listening to the show. This was a fun one. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to tell a friend to tell a friend. It's not enough to enjoy the show at your house or whatever just by yourself. Share it with people that you think would enjoy it and let them know about the show. Subscribe. Follow me on my social media. Follow all of these guys. All of that is going to be linked in the description. And with that being said, y'all vote and take care of each other. Y'all have a good rest of the week.